The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 5, text number 16, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 29th, 2011, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Gyanena tu tat Agyanam yesham nashitam atmana tesham adityavat khyanam prakashayati tatpuram gyanena tu tada gyanam yesham nashitam atmanah Te shamaditya vajjnanam prakashayati tatparam jnanena tuttara jnanam yesham nashitam atmanah te shamaditya vajjnanam prakashayati tatparam Jnanena, by knowledge, to, but, tat, that, jnanam, nescience, yesham, whose, nashitam, is destroyed, atmanah, of the living entity, tesham, there, adityavat, like the rising sun, jnanam, knowledge, prakashayati, discloses, tatparam, Krishna consciousness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Purport. Those who have forgotten Krishna must certainly be bewildered. But those who are in Krishna consciousness are not bewildered at all. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvam Jnana Plavena Jnanagni Sarva Karmani and Nahi Jnanina Sadrisham. Knowledge is always highly esteemed. And what is that knowledge? Perfect knowledge is achieved when one surrenders unto Krishna. As it is said in the 7th chapter, 19th verse, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavanmang Prapadyate. After passing through many, many births, when perfect in knowledge surrenders unto Krishna, or when one attains Krishna consciousness, then everything is revealed to him, as everything is revealed with the sun in the daytime. The living entity is bewildered in so many ways. For instance, when he unceremoniously thinks himself God, he actually falls into the last snare of nescience. If a living entity is God, then how can he become bewildered by nescience? Does God become bewildered by nescience? If so, then nescience, or Satan, is greater than God. Real knowledge can be obtained from a person who is perfect in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one has to seek out such a bona fide spiritual master and under him learn what Krishna consciousness is, for Krishna consciousness will certainly drive away all nescience as the sun drives away darkness. Even though a person may be in full knowledge that he is not this body, but is transcendental to the body, he still may not be able to discriminate between the soul and the supersoul. However, he can learn everything well if he takes care to take shelter of the perfect, bona fide, Krishna-conscious spiritual master. One can know God and one's relationship with God only when one actually meets a representative of God. and representative of God, never claims to be that he is God, although he is paid all respect, ordinarily paid to God, because he has knowledge of God. One has to learn the distinction between God and the living entity. Lord Sri Krishna therefore stated in the second chapter 2.12 that every living being is individual, and that the Lord also is individual. They were all individuals in the past, they are individuals at present, and they will continue to be individuals in the future, even after liberation. At night, we see everything as one in the darkness, but in day, when the sun is up, we see everything in the real identity. Identity with individuality and spiritual life is real knowledge. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamunam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganavagunatanvitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, as we have been discussing in our previous lectures, perfect knowledge comes when you surrender to Krishna. If you don't surrender to Krishna, your knowledge, you may have so many theoretical facts and figures from the Vedas, but unless you're surrendered to Krishna, your knowledge is always imperfect. You can't realize this knowledge without surrendering to Krishna. Not possible. This knowledge is not theoretical knowledge, it is realized knowledge. You have to know Krishna by your experience. That is the position of the perfect devotees. They are experiencing Krishna directly. So that is when your knowledge becomes perfect. And how do you experience Krishna directly? You experience Krishna directly by surrendering unto him. To whatever extent you surrender unto Krishna, what does he say in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 11? Ye yatamang prapadyante tangstataiva bhajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So what is that reward? Is it a piece of candy? No. It's Krishna. To whatever extent you give yourself to Krishna, Krishna gives himself to you. So you have to decide how much Krishna you want. You want a little Krishna or you want full Krishna? If you want full Krishna, then you must fully surrender to Krishna. You can't cheat Krishna. That, oh Krishna, I am your fully surrendered devotee. And then hold on to so many material attachments. You cannot do them. Krishna, Prabhupada said, Krishna doesn't see how much you're giving, he sees how much you're holding back. So we have to not hold back anything. We have to say, Krishna, from this moment on, I'm your property. That's all. Take me, I'm yours. Do whatever you want to with me for all of eternity. I belong to you, and that's all. You can kill me, you can have me live for 1,000 years, it doesn't matter. I'm yours right now, do whatever you want to with me. I'll do whatever you want, my Lord. Just take me as your eternal servant, you see. That mood, you see, that attacks Krishna like anything. Because when you truly give yourself to Krishna in that mood of complete surrender, then Krishna reciprocates like anything. Actually, 10 times. Krishna gives you 10 times back whatever you give to him. So even if you can just muster up a little teeny weeny, itsy bitsy teeny weeny, a little bit of bhakti, you know. Give that little bit of bhakti and Krishna gives 10 times back, you see. And then you become encouraged. Oh, wow, I got so much nectar. Then surrender even more, you see. Then you get even more nectar. So whatever nectar comes, don't think, oh, just see what a great devotee I am, you see. You have to become qualified. You have to become qualified. Just like I had a wonderful dream yesterday. I dreamt that I met Prabhupada and I said, Prabhupada, I want to meet Rupa Goswami. And he said, you will have to qualify yourself. You see? So the more we become qualified in Krishna consciousness, the more we You know, we can get all kinds of sublime nectar, you see. So just become more and more qualified. Simply be sincere. That's the only qualification. If you have that sincerity, everything else will follow, you see. Someone said, well, I don't have any sincerity. What can I do? I said, well, are you saying that sincerely? That you have no sincerity? There's one Mataji in Auckland. She's a very smart girl. She said, well, I'm not saying it sincerely enough. She couldn't say, no, I'm not saying it sincerely that I have no sincerity. Because she really meant it, but she couldn't say she was perfect in sincerity and saying it's perfect with perfect sincerity, because that would defeat her understanding of her position. And she was lacking sincerity. So she answered it very perfectly. That I'm saying it with some sincerity, but not enough sincerity, you see. So in this way, we really have to try to muster that humility, that humble mood, you see. Really, the whole thing boils down to attitude. It's not so much what you say or what you do, it's what kind of attitude you have. If you can master your attitude, then your words will become very sweet and sublime. Your actions will become very pure. But what is your attitude? And what is the attitude that one is to have? And this is very poetic, but you have to have an attitude of gratitude, you see. Or a gratitudinous attitude, to use a big English word. Gratitudinous attitude. You must have a gratitudinous attitude. You must always feel grateful. What Krishna is giving me, you see. Someone wrote me, they said, well, who is more important, my mother or Krishna?
Maybe you're giving them surprise tomorrow, or you're just telling them now.
Manaji wants you to wait and read it tomorrow and thought for the day. I don't know if they have access to computers here.
Yeah, they do.
And to go to a cyber cafe. But anyway, it's actually day after tomorrow.
Okay.
She wants you to just read it on the internet now. Some of them may not have be enrolled in thought for the day, though.
They are enrolled. I'm sure everybody.
Anybody not enrolled in thought for the day? Are you enrolled in thought for the day? No, she's not enrolled in it.
Who?
The girl from Riga.
Oh, I think she is.
She's involved in thought for the day?
You are for the thought for the day, right?
What?
The thought for the day, www.backtohome.com?
No.
No.
No. So we can say.
She should then.
Anyway, we can say. So, I've almost forgotten the point now. Huh? Yeah, which is the mother? He said, which is more important, the mother or Krishna? So we asked him, well, who's supplying the air that you breathe? Does your mother supply the air or Krishna provides the air? Who's feeding all the living entities in this whole material universe, Krishna or your mother? You see. Then I said, who is supplying you with your mother? Yeah, that could be asked also. And then I asked, which mother are you referring to? The mother of this birth or the many billions of mothers from many million, billions of births? Which mother are you talking about? You say the mother is more important than Krishna. And then somebody else sent me a similar email. They said there's some verse, you know, the first thing is the mother, then the father, then the teacher, and God is the very last thing. There's some verse. And then somebody else sent me the same exact point, you know. The mother is the first thing. So this is why we need a spiritual master, because there's so many different things out there being that are said to be true, you know. But unless we understand the Vedic wisdom properly according to the Acharyas, see, we can get, you can extract so many different viewpoints from the Vedic wisdom if you're not guided by a bona fide spiritual master. They're just like the people in India were doing that prior to Lord Buddha's advent. They were taking the Vedic injunctions and they were trying to use it to justify cow slaughter. Even now there's a famous Muslim scholar, and he's giving these big, big lectures, very adamantly quoting Vedic scriptures to say that meat eating is okay. He quotes from the Rig Veda, he quotes from the Manusmriti. But he's taking it totally out of context without him taking the understanding from the Acharyas, you see. A similar thing was happening prior to Lord Buddha's advent. They were using the Vedic scriptures to justify meat eating. So Lord Buddha came and he denied the Vedas. He put a stop to the nonsense. The Vedas are false. There is no God, but if you kill a living entity, you will take the karmic reaction. You will get the karmic reaction. So better you don't cause any pain to other living entities, because that will come back on you. In this way, he put a stop to the cow killing, and in the same time he denied the Vedic wisdom that was so much being abused. And then later on, Shankaracharya came. He presented a philosophy very similar to Buddhism, the Shankarite impersonalism philosophy, Mayavad philosophy, which was very similar to Buddhism. But in that way he got the Vedic scriptures back into the door, so to speak, of the Indian culture. And then later Acharyas came, like Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Madhvacharya. They came and they reestablished Vaishnava understanding of the Vedic scriptures. And Lord Chaitanya came and gave the full, complete understanding of the Vedic wisdom in its most sublime form, Achincha Beda Beda Tattva, that the absolute truth is simultaneously one and different. And now Prabhupada has given us, and of course the Goswamis, they extracted wisdom from all the Vedic wisdom to write so many books presenting the teachings of Lord Chaitanya with all Vedic evidence. And so Prabhupada now has given all of that to us in his books. He has summarized and given us a very deep, full understanding of the teachings of the Goswamis, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, so that we can actually have a full, proper understanding of the Vedic wisdom. And that full understanding, as we mentioned in the beginning of the lecture, only comes when you surrender to Krishna. Without that surrender, you'll never fully understand it. It'll always remain a mystery for you. It will evade you. You'll never be quite able to grasp it unless you surrender to Krishna. For one who has not surrendered, this knowledge always remains inconceivable, difficult to understand. One who surrenders to Krishna, it's very simple to understand everything about this philosophy. Very simple thing. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
Can we underline or write something on these books?
Can we underline or write something in the books? Well, look at it like this. You're reading the books, and you go, wow, this is a really important point. You underline it. Then you come back again to your next reading, and you go, whoa, wow, this is really an important point. You underline that. And if you read it enough times, finally the whole book will be underlined. So I recommend, instead of doing that, you should keep a separate notebook. Because the fact is, each reading will give you new lights. In repeated readings, it'll be so full of notes and underlines that it just doesn't make sense to underline anymore. So the best thing is to keep a separate notebook, Bhagavad Gita notes, and then you can and use that as a side by side study. I see you've already written, so that's all right. Whatever is there is okay, but I wouldn't increase it. I would keep a separate notebook. A study notebook alongside your Bhagavad Gita. You can always keep the two books together. Whenever you study, you have your notebook and you can always be taking notes. And that's a better system. Because you may have, there may be more you want to note than you even have room in the margins to write it, you see. So it's better to have a separate notebook. It's very good you're taking notes, it's very good. One time there was one sannyasi in our movement, he made bunch of comments on the verses, and they were so nice, I actually wrote them all in my Gita. And later on I realized that it was kind of a, you know, I realized it wasn't the best thing. I took white out and I whited them all out. Because I realized it didn't make sense to always take notes and better to keep them separate. But I'm not saying you have to white it out. But I had many, many notes and throughout the whole Gita. I realized it didn't make any sense to have them in the Gita itself, but to have them on the side. Any other questions? Yeah.
In the case of sincerity we're talking about, how does one increase their sincerity?
Talking about what?
Sincerity. Sincere.
Sincerity.
Spirituality?
Sincerity.
Yeah. So how does one increase their sincerity towards...
How do you increase your sincerity? You just beg Krishna. My dear Lord, I am lacking sincerity. Please, please, please bless me with sincerity. It's all you have to do. Simple thing. To pray for it. Anything else? Yeah.
In Sri Guru Vandana song, why is it written, by his mercy divine knowledge is revealed within the heart, bestowing prema bhakti and destroying ignorance. Why it is
what page is this?
Page 81.
31.
81.
Okay. This is above Manas. Oh, it's a different edition. Oh, Guru Vandana.
In that it is written, bestowing prema bhakti and destroying ignorance.
Let's see.
Why it is not ignorance? Let's see if
they have the same. Let's see the same. You have a different edition. That's Narottam or Bhaktivinoda? Narottam? Okay. Okay, what verse number? Number 4?
3.
Huh?
3.
See, he who has given me the gift of transcendental vision is my Lord, birth after birth, by his mercy, divine knowledge revealed within my heart, bestowing prema bhakti and destroying ignorance. The Vedic scriptures sing of his character. Is that the same translation?
No.
So what's the question?
Destroying prema bhakti and destroying ignorance. Actually, prema bhakti is the last stage, ninth stage. Why it is not given as destroying ignorance and gives prema bhakti? Is prema bhakti existing?
You're saying it's different from the...
I'm just asking a doubt.
Why?
She is saying why it is not said that first destroying the ignorance and then giving prema bhakti.
It's not saying this is you're.
So she is saying why it is said there.
Yeah, yeah.
Why first?
Well, what does it say in the Bengali? Prema bhakti. It's following the Bengali. Prema bhakti jaha hoite avidya vinasa jate. It's following the Bengali. So why Narottam is listing it in this order? You have to meet Narottam and ask him.
His understanding is wrong. That it's saying that it is not saying that he is giving the prema bhakti. Where you go to the shelter of the spiritual master, you get, that is the place you get the prema bhakti, and also at the same time your ignorance is destroyed. Okay. That is the place.
Okay, so ignorance is destroyed and we attain prema bhakti.
Now this is the place at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. You get both things.
The more your prema develops, your bhakti is concomitantly destroyed, your ignorance is concomitantly destroyed. It happens simultaneously. Just like this verse we read just tonight. It's the same, the answer is given in tonight's verse. When the sun rises, prema sun rises in your heart, to whatever extent it has arisen, the ignorance is destroyed at the same time. It's not that the darkness goes away and then later on the sun rises. The sunrise and the destruction of darkness are simultaneous. So it's not that your ignorance is destroyed and then later on you get prema bhakti. No, as you're getting prema bhakti, your ignorance is being destroyed. That's how it works.
And also, when Sanskrit and Bengali is written, it goes opposite direction. First comes ignorance and then comes prema. If you see all the verses of Sanskrit, the translation is written from the bottom, going upward.
Oftentimes it is backwards. Not every time, but oftentimes
most
it
of
is.
The time. Most of the time.
Vrindavanam paditya jana pada ek. Yeah, it is generally, quite often it is backwards.
Yes, it's backwards.
It's like Vrindavanam paditya jana pada ekam gachati. Krishna never sets a foot outside of Vrindavan.
Yeah, it's going backwards.
Sanskrit changes the order of the English. It's the natural order of Sanskrit and natural order of English are usually different. They're not always, they don't match exactly, so.
If you take the Saradharam Paritajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja, also, it's just opposite. It starts from the bottom and goes up.
So in any case, they're simultaneous. So any other questions?
Yeah. What are the purificatory process for body and mind?
What are the purificatory process for body and mind?
Yes. Engage your mind always in thinking of Krishna and engage your body always in bowing down to Krishna and to the spiritual master. And then your body and mind become purified by obeisances and by meditation. Any other question?
Also yeah. It is said about the body and mind. Also it is said that externally one bowing down is going to the higher level. Externally, one should be when one gets one should take bath and chant bath and other rituals, putting tilak, putting kanchimala. That's also process for body. And then
tilak, kanchimala, dhoti, kurta, sari. These things help the body become purified. The tilak, so many things. Yes.
I have heard that Srila Prabhupada said that just reading one chapter of my book, you can become fully Krishna consciousness. Or then he said, not even one chapter, but one page. But then not even one page, just one line. Not one line, just one word. But then my question is, why reading his book I not become fully Krishna consciousness?
Why she's reading the books and doesn't have full Krishna consciousness?
Yeah.
You haven't really read the books yet. Huh?
No, she's explained. Huh? Prabhupada says, reading his book, one becomes Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
He says, why one book? Even reading was a little bit of it. That happened to me.
All right, but what's her question?
That's the question. Then why somebody is reading books, all the books, but not becoming full Krishna conscious?
That means they're not really reading them. They're not taking them into their heart when they read them. You see, it means that they're reading. It's like they're taking it. It goes through them. It doesn't go into the heart. If you actually take these books, you read. You deeply read into your heart, then you become a pure devotee. You become a pure devotee if you actually take this knowledge deep within you. You see, but if you just kind of let it skim over the surface, kind of just flows in and flows out, then you're not going to get the full benefit. You get some benefit. But you have to really deeply take this knowledge into your heart and then you'll become a pure devotee.
Even coming to Krishna consciousness is like that. That's how I came to Krishna consciousness. I didn't read Prabhupada's book. I didn't associate with devotees. Nobody preached to me. I read only one paragraph.
What paragraph was that?
Huh?
I'm curious what paragraph it was.
I don't remember, but it was only one paragraph.
I know, it's Prabhupada's words are so potent. One paragraph is all it's in.
So I can confirm that what Prabhupada said is perfect and correct.
Yeah, I do not think that he is incorrect. I just think there is some secret I should know.
You have to be serious, I guess.
It's a matter of how much faith you put in it. If you read it like a jnani, a mental speculator, well, I don't know about this. If you take it, if you have strong faith, this is described by in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Yasya devi pra bhaktir tata devi tata guru tasyaite katitahyata prakashante mahatmanaha. And to those souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, all the Vedic wisdom is revealed. So you just have to have unflinching faith. That what Prabhupada is saying is absolute truth. It is coming directly from God, and Prabhupada is a messenger, that's all. It's directly coming from Krishna himself, and Prabhupada is delivering it to us. If you have that kind of unflinching faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada, the whole Vedic wisdom will become revealed to you, become a pure devotee. It's a fact. It's got to put your faith. Very important. Yeah.
So if somebody reads just a word or a page of the Bhagavad Gita, and
she did not say word.
A word, yeah. Prabhupada said even a
word. Even one word, Prabhupada one time said, yeah.
Okay. Even right down to one word.
Yeah.
And maybe there's no sincerity or anything like that. Well, it's or faith or. Even maybe some offensive mentality, does it still have
to be? They get benefited. Oh, yes, everyone has benefited. Even Prabhupada said, if you want to hate, hate Krishna. Even the demons. It's like there was one really demoniac character named Ted Patrick. He was kidnapping the devotees and deprogramming them, convincing them to give up Krishna consciousness. He would collect a huge money from the parents, like $30,000 or something. $30,000, I'll kidnap your Hare Krishna child and I'll deprogram him. And he and his assistants, they would blaspheme Krishna, you see. Say Krishna is not, you know, they would capture the devotee, take him to a remote cabin somewhere and keep him prisoner until he agreed to give up Krishna consciousness. And they would commit all kinds of blasphemy against Krishna. But so many times they're saying the name of Krishna, these blasphemers. That means after they burn off, after they suffer the reactions for all of those sins, the benefit of all that uttering Krishna's name will come to them at some point in the future. So even a demoniac person who's saying Krishna, Krishna in a hateful way, ultimately he'll be benefited by them after he undergoes all the reactions for his offenses. So everybody is benefited.
Benefited. Yeah, I understand benefit.
Yeah.
Benefits are there, but while going through that sinful life, the reactions of the sinful life, they are committing more sinful reactions. So, when it will act?
It may be a very long time, but the benefit will be then. They're better off than persons that never other than the name of Krishna, ultimately. Well, otherwise, why would Prabhupada say, if you want to hate, hate Krishna?
That is like Kamsa.
Yeah.
That is like Kamsa. Kamsa was killed. Kamsa was a big demon. But these teeny, teeny demons like that person. One has to come to the... Kamsa was not an ordinary demon.
Just like when Lord Chaitanya appeared. When Lord Chaitanya appeared, everyone was chanting Hare Krishna. Or Hare Hare. The Hindus were, it was an eclipse, so they all went down to the Ganges. They were chanting the holy names. The Muslims were making fun. All those Hindus are going, Hari, 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 Hari. Everybody was chanting, even the Muslims were chanting when Lord Chaitanya appeared. The Muslims were chanting in jest, and the Hindus were chanting in sincerely, but everybody was chanting when Lord Chaitanya appeared. So any contact with these books is positive.
So they haven't stopped cow killing yet.
They're becoming cows. They're killing. Yeah, the cows are the former cow killers. So they're eating the cow killers actually. They're eating their fellow cow killers, and they'll become. Cows and eaten by their fellow cow killers. The cows will become humans, and they will become this way. The karmic chakra is rolling on. The only way out is to become a devotee. But anyone who has uttered the name of Hari in any way receives some special benediction. That's a fact. Even that Urdu speaking man, he was being killed by the wild boar.
That is like a special category. Not everybody is going to get that.
The fact is, anybody who chants the name is benefited. You can't deny that. That's according to scripture. They get great benefit.
They benefited, but at the same time they're going on doing the karma. It's very, very,
that
very
will
smart.
They will, by that chanting of the God, names of God, that will give them an escape from karma chakra eventually. Because they were uttering the name.
Eventually,
yes.
Eventually is a big thing.
Yes, it will. Whereas others will not have any, those who have not chanted will not get a benefit. Those who have chanted, even the grossly sinful, they will get the opportunity. They will be blessed and benefited. That's a fact. That is the power of the holy name.
Many millions of lifetime.
That is up to higher authorities.
Yeah.
I cannot say. But we know for a fact that anyone, that's why book distribution is encouraged by Prabhupada. Even if sometimes people are very offensive, it's still the greatest benefit on the fallen souls approach everybody with these books. It's the greatest benefit.
Yeah.
Even though some people are negative, you know, you Hare Krishnas, you know, what are you doing here? Get out of here, get off the street. You know, even if they're very offensive, still, it was better they got an opportunity to think of Krishna. You Hare Krishnas, get out of here. We don't want you here. You see, they got the benefit of saying the name of Krishna. Prabhupada, our movement was in very bad condition in Germany many years ago. The police came and they raided the temple, took everyone to jail, they confiscated all the bank accounts. It was a horrible thing in Germany what happened years ago, back in the 80s, or the 70s, 70s. When Prabhupada was still here, it happened, and Prabhupada said, in Germany, every newspaper is saying Hare Krishna is bad, therefore we are still existing. Because every newspaper is chanting Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada take it everything positive, Krishna's mercy.
So that we are Prabhupada Anugas.
So we can take it.
We are meant to follow Prabhupada's footsteps.
But we can take it also like that.
Yeah, Prabhupada. We are Prabhupada Anugas.
It's like that.
We are meant to take everything very positively.
For internal and external, one who sees everything, and they become Krishna conscious. That's the way it is. But it's a,
so we are meant to follow Prabhupada's footsteps.
So Prabhupada was thinking everything like that.
Someone may say, well, we chant the Hari Nam party, but then people become agitated and they say offensive things, so better we don't do Hari Nam. Because people say negative things sometimes, they get angry at us. So better they don't get angry at the Hari Nam, so better we won't do Hari Nam anymore. No. We go out, Prabhupada said, by this chanting, we force them to become pious. You may say, well, how they become pious?
Why?
They didn't even chant. They just heard the name. How are they becoming pious? All they did was hear the name and they became pious. They're still drinking. They're still having illicit sex. They're still doing all nonsense. But no, Prabhupada said, by this Harinam Sankirtan, we are forcing them to become pious.
Yes.
Therefore, it's a fact. We accept it on Prabhupada's words.
Okay, we accept that. But it's out of many millions. 1 million.
No, everyone. Everybody who hears the Harinam party is being purified by that. That's a fact. Everyone.
Purified.
Everyone's being purified. They're being forced. Prabhupada said they're being forced to become pious. That's a fact.
Krishna is also saying that out of many thousands of people who will hear and learn about Krishna, out of that many, and out of those many, there will be only one who will understand him.
So a million become pious, and out of all those million that become pious, one becomes a devotee. That's all right. But they are all being pushed towards spiritual life by the Harinam party. That's a fact. Everyone's being pushed. Even the people who blaspheme and say, oh, this Hare Krishna, these damn Hare Krishnas. Yeah, damn Krishna, damn Krishna. Even if they do that, still they're being purified by the Harinam party.
Isn't that offensive?
It's offensive, that's a fact.
So what is the
But they're still getting benefit. That's the point.
The devotees, we say that the devotees should not be offensive, and then we have got the others who are committing offenses, they can be all become purified. So all the devotees also should commit offenses.
It's better to chant offensively than not chant at all. That's a thing.
That is true. That somebody can.
Someone said, "Well, you know, my job is really offensive, so I'm just not going to chant anymore." No, that's bogus. Even if your chanting is offensive, chant anyway.
So where is the loving?
Because by offensive chanting, gradually it will become pure. That's a thing. The power of the name is there.
That is there. Somebody endeavors that it shows that there is some sincerity, some love. Then one goes on chanting offensively also.
Yeah.
There is some sincerity in that. But somebody just commits offenses knowingly.
Well, I tell you, these Harinams are so important. There was some popular pop singer. He remembered when he was a little kid. He's not into Krishna consciousness philosophy at all. He's not into it. But he remembers as a little kid, he used to hear the Harinam party back in the, you know, in the 60s and 70s in the park. And how peaceful and beautiful it was. So he actually made a recording of the Hare Krishna mantra. And it was a number one hit, a big hit on the top, on the rating charts, because he was some famous pop singer. He said he's not promoting Krishna consciousness, he's not into Krishna consciousness, but he really thought it was beautiful, and he made a Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare recording, you see?
Yeah, same way that Krishnadas is also doing.
So they even Prabhupada said there's even some benefit when the Mayavadis chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said that.
Yeah, that's Prabhupada's mercy.
They get some benefit. No, it's a fact also.
And that's Prabhupada's mercy.
Yeah, it's a fact also.
When the Prabhupada says, then that pure devotee says that, then Krishna is obliged to do something. That's Prabhupada's mercy.
That's true. So any other question?
One question.
Yeah.
The Ritviks are also chanting Hare Krishna.
Huh?
Ritviks. They are chanting Hare Krishna. They are following four religious principles. But they're
committing offenses now. Many guru aparad, Vaishnava aparad, heavy guru aparad, Vaishnava aparad. So they'll have to suffer reactions for that. But still, they'll get the benefit. Ultimately, they'll be benefited for all their chanting and all of their pranams of Prabhupada, etc. They'll be greatly benefited by that. But they're going to have to suffer a lot of reactions for all of their.
But the holy name can purify them also.
Tamika?
But the holy name can purify them. So why do they have to suffer the reaction?
Because they're chanting with offense.
They are not opening for the
book. They're committing nama parad.
They may be chanting purely, but...
No, their chanting is impure. It's not pure.
But they are not vibrating. Vibration of Hare Krishna mantra is pure.
But they are committing nama parad. That's a fact. You can't deny that. They are committing nama parad. So that the effect of nama parad means that one remains in material consciousness.
Same way.
You cannot purify yourself. You cannot become a pure devotee while you're committing nama parad. You cannot escape the cycle of birth and death while you're committing nama parad. You remain in the cycle of birth and death if you commit nama parad.
So that's
and you have to get reactions for it also.
That's what I'm saying, that those who are chanting offensively, they will get the reactions also.
I agree. I said that in the very beginning. That was one of the very first points I made. They will get reactions for all of their sins, but the benefit of the chanting will stay with them after they've burned off those offenses. I said that in the very first point I made.
So same way for the Ritvik also?
Yeah, everyone. Everyone. Whether it's Ted Patrick or it's a Ritvik, anybody who chants Hare Krishna, every time they chant, they're getting benefit. Even if they're getting offensive, they have to suffer those reactions, but the benefit of their chanting will never be destroyed. It will always remain with them. Yeah.
But they are also committing like Vaishnava Prabhupada by blaspheming Prabhupada and previous Acharyas. So we hear that if one commits Vaishnava Prabhupada, then he is eternally doomed. Like. So.
Yeah, who are you asking? Are you asking me or asking her? Okay. Alright, so.
So.
What the question is?
They are also committing Vaishnava Prabhupada, so.
Yeah?
Then they are eternally doomed. Like.
They're doomed. They're in a very bad position. Anyone who commits Vaishnava Rag will suffer heavy reactions. That's a pen. But they still get the chanting that they've done will ultimately be a benefit for them. That's a fact also. But not immediately. They have to undergo all those reactions for their offenses and burn off all those reactions. So they have to become cleared off of the reactions for those offenses.
It also says that one who chants offensively will be, after many, many millions of time, they cannot go back home, back to Godhead.
Until they atone for those offenses. Because even if you kill a Brahmin, you can be freed of that reaction.
So maybe. How will they be able to atone when they go life after life after life after they go on?
Well, by surrendering at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master.
How would they come to when they are committing so many offenses?
By the mercy of a bona fide guru, if they take it.
If they take it.
Yeah. If they're somehow fortunate enough, a bona fide spiritual master blesses them with his mercy and they take it, and then they'll become liberated, and that's a fact. But otherwise, if they remain proud, they'll stay firmly in the cycle of birth and death. Even though they may be chanting for millions of lifetimes, Hare Krishna, they'll stay in the cycle of birth and death. That's a fact. Anything else? Yeah.
Gurudev, you mentioned that people who are killing cows now, those cows were actually those killers in the past.
Sure.
Now, when somebody is killing a cow...
That's the meaning of mamsa. You know the meaning of mamsa?
Yeah.
He, me. Or me, he. Yeah, me, he.
Right. Now, I'm asking, if somebody is killing a cow now, so is he committing a fresh sin, or is he just...
No, it's an endless chain. He was a cow in his previous life who was killed. Now he's getting even with the cow that killed him, with the person that killed him. Now that person... They keep, you know, it's karma is very, everybody gets their chance to pay back those who offended them. So if someone kills and eats a cow, that cow will become a human being and kill and eat that person. So then they'll just go back and forth, switching between cow and human being and killing and eating each other, lifetime after lifetime. It's really hard to get out of that unless you get the mercy of a pure devotee. Then you can be relieved from it. Yeah?
When Krishna kills a demon, the demon is liberated. He reaches up to Brahmajyoti. He's liberated.
Yeah.
But when Krishna descends once again, the same demon becomes another demon in this world.
When Krishna descends what?
He becomes another demon again.
If he's liberated, why does
he... Have you read that? Are you asking or telling me?
No, I'm asking him. Why he's becoming a demon always?
Well, I haven't read anywhere in the books what happened to those demons who got impersonal mind revelation, liberation. Generally, it's stated that one who attains impersonal mind, they fall down. Aruya krishchena parang padam tata patanchacho nadajudush marangriyaha. Eventually, they do fall down again, but it doesn't say that they necessarily have to become a demon. They could fall down and become a devotee and then go back to Godhead. It doesn't necessarily... I've never read that the one who falls down from the Brahmajyoti becomes a demon again. Have you read that anywhere?
In Krishna book...
Yeah? It says they fell down and become demons?
No, it is mentioned previously in this birth, he was this demon. He was killed by Krishna. Krishna, by Lord.
Which demon was that?
I don't remember. I've seen the book.
Well, there's the giant Vijay were cursed to... They voluntarily agreed to become demons three times. So they could go back to Godhead quicker. They made an offense against the four Kumaras. They were cursed to take birth in the material world seven times as a devotee or three times as a demon. And they took three births as demons so they can come back to Godhead that much quicker. So in their case, they became a demon three times. And actually, they decided to make a guest appearance in Chaitanya Leela also as Jai and Vijay. I mean, as Jagai and Madai. Yeah. Special, a little more mercy will appear in Gaura Leela also. They did their three demons, they came actually four times as demons. They came as Jagai and Madai and Chaitanya Leela to get even more mercy, get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. When you get more Nityananda's mercy, then you really get the real mercy.
Okay, it's past 9 o'clock.
Okay, we'll stop here. We thank you very much. Rajavidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Om Mishnapad Paramhamsa Parijyakacharya Stotra Sarashi Praise Sankarshan Dasa Dikari Kuridev ki jai.